always remember, you know. Sometimes we remember, sometimes we don't. God wants us to remember. Yeah. He's a little upset because he wants to get a hold of that peep right away. And sometimes you gotta wait for good things. Yeah. We used to have hallelujahs at Little Falls, and we had them all around the sanctuary so that everywhere you looked, you couldn't help but see it. Oh, right. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we are so grateful that we get to come here as your body, as your beloved bride. And we give you thanks, oh, Lord, that you died for us, that you rose for us, that you are the firstborn of the dead, and that you are the first fruits of those who fall asleep. And so tonight, oh, Lord, and in the 50 days ahead, we just want to praise you. We want to praise you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all that you've given us. We want to praise you for your goodness, and we don't want to make a peep. We want to shout hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, a day like this could get people kind of the shakes. You know, you could get all shook up. You know those words? Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? Huh? You know, come on. Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm shaking like a... What is it? Like a man. I'm shaking like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting. Huh? Wild as a bug. I'm in love. Oh. What? I'm all shook up. Do you know what tonight is? Do you know what this day that has begun is? This is God's big shake-up. This is when God shakes everything up. Because God is in love with you. Enough to give his only son, Jesus, to die for the forgiveness of your sins, to shake everything up. When was the last time you were a little shaken? I mean, maybe it was a pink slip. Maybe it was downsizing at work. Maybe it was because you thought you had the bases covered with retirement, and then everything just kind of went down the toilet. Or the housing market collapsed, and suddenly what you thought was an asset became a liability or a noose around your neck. Or maybe it was just simply a case of the flu, and you got the chills, and you couldn't get warm, and you had the shakes. You were all shook up, huh? Tonight we are celebrating God's great shake-up. St. Matthew tells us that when Jesus died, the moment that he died and breathed his last, there was this, well, Richter scale 10, mega earthquake. Usually when you think of an earthquake, you think about the devastation, the loss, the death. 2010. It was about 225,000 people that died in Haiti with an earthquake. 2011, about 10,000 or so that perished when the earthquake hit Japan. Or the biggest earthquake, according to statisticians in the history, they say took place in the year 1202 in Syria. 1.1 million fatalities. Well, I read that and I thought, no, that's not the biggest earthquake ever. I mean, those things shake things up. But the biggest shakeup of all was when Jesus breathed his last and there was this large earthquake in Judea, in Jerusalem, in the surrounding area, and the tremor spread throughout all places and all ages. When God shook up a world that was captive to sin and death and set it free. St. Matthew says what happened when Jesus breathed his last? That the tombs of the saints were opened. And if you read the very end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, when Jesus dies, it says that the saints, their tombs were opened, but they didn't come out until after the resurrection. Because Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. He's the first fruits of those who fall asleep. He is the promise of resurrection for all the saints. So instead of this 10 magnitude earthquake destroying lives, the death of Jesus makes atonement and reconciliation and gives life in a cemetery. And so Matthew, this great proclaimer of good news, he tells us that early on the first day of the week, the work week, right? And this is a work day because the Sabbath is over at 6 o'clock Saturday night. It's time to get back to work. And so the women go to the tomb, the graveyard, all shook up because their beloved has died. But they don't know what's awaiting them. Because in the cemetery, there is going to be another earthquake. And the angel's going to come down and he's going to announce the good news and he's going to say, don't be afraid. And that word in Greek is a performative command. It's not like just somebody telling you what to do. The word makes it happen. When the angel says, don't be afraid, then you become without fear. The word accomplishes what God intends it to do. Don't be afraid. And yet, what happens to the guards? Isn't this a humorous story? Some people remember, some people forget. A lot of people remember to bring their alleluias tonight, and I am praising the Lord. That is so great. It really is, because we have a tendency as human beings to forget. Jesus said three times, at least three times in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem where he'll be shamefully treated, where he will be put on a cross, crucified, and on the third day, rise from the dead. Now, everybody has apparently forgotten this. But do you know who remembers? The Pharisees and the chief priests. The opposition, who are in fact the religious leaders. They're going to be the main ones orchestrating a conspiracy to make a peep out of the proclamation of resurrection. They go to Pilate and they say, we need some guards because we remember how this imposter said he's going to rise on the third day. And Pilate, I can just see him kind of with a twinkle in his eye and a little bit of laughter in his voice saying, you got guards, you go and make it as secure as you can. And we know the rest of the story. And so here are the guards, they're supposed to be doing their duty, and when this earthquake happens and sets Mary and Mary free to be proclaimers of good news, it's the death of them. Not of Mary and Mary, but of the soldiers, the guards. It's the death of them. They become like in a trance. They become, Matthew says, like dead men. The women are invited to come and see and then to go and tell. Six times in our gospel reading, the word look or behold or see is used. Look, 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 look. You see? Behold, something big is happening. On the Richter scale, an earthquake the size of a 10. Something major has happened. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. This is good news. Even though for some it'll be the death of them. But for those who are the saints of God, in the tombs, in the cemeteries, Christ, the first fruits of the those who have fallen asleep, I mean, the firstborn of the dead, he's going to lead the way. And as soon as he's out of the tomb, then the rest of them are also going out. And they're going in the entire city. They're canvassing every place they can get to so that they can share the good news that Christ is risen, that you don't have to be afraid anymore, that God has taken care of sin and death forever. The Easter shakeup, all because God loves you and the world that He's made and seeks to redeem and sanctify and make holy His beloved forever. An earthquake when He dies, an earthquake when He rises. The angel, the messenger, he rolls the stone away, not so that Jesus can get out, but so that Mary and Mary can get in and experience Easter, the resurrection of their Lord and Savior, who puts death to death. See, I've told you. Don't you love that phrase of the angel? He finishes what he's supposed to do. He rolls the stone aside, and then he sits down on it. And you know that in the first century, or in the Jewish proclamation or teaching, that's what happens. You sit. You stand to read the lesson, and then you sit to preach. The angel is preaching, proclaiming. And so the stone that was supposed to keep death in has now become a pulpit. Isn't that amazing? He sits there and he says, okay, mission accomplished. Tetelestai. I'm done. What are you waiting for? You can almost... And the women, they get going. It says that they ran, because they're supposed to go and tell the disciples that Christ has been raised from the dead, that Jesus is already going ahead of them to Galilee, and that they're going to see Him. And what happens to the women when they've heard the resurrection and now they're participating in mission? Dear Bruner says, all of Matthew 28, the Gospel of Matthew is all about resurrection mission. Resurrection mission. What happens when they're involved in the mission? On the way, who meets them? Jesus. He meets them when they are obedient to the command and commission they've been given. Jesus says, don't be afraid. A performative word that accomplishes exactly what He says. And He says, go and tell My... Did you notice the difference there? Not disciples. Go and tell My brothers. That's intentional. That's Matthew's way of saying your family, and all is forgiven. That's a word of absolution from Christ Himself. Go and tell My brothers that I'm going to meet them in Galilee, and there they will see Me. When we are participating in the Easter resurrection mission of God, called the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we see Jesus. Matthew 25, Jesus said, as you do it to the least of these, you do it to Me. And as you don't do it, you haven't done it for Me. See, look, behold, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. But there is a conspiracy. There is the resurrection mission and the Great Commission, and in between it, there is the counter mission. Because when these dead, like dead soldiers get out of their trance or whatever it is, and then they go and they report to the religious leaders what's happened, it's the very leaders of the faith. And this is what disheartens me. It's the very leaders of the faith who pay bribe money to do a countermission. It's a proclamation, but it is a proclamation of lies. And you hear what the lie is? And Matthew says it's still being told to this day. It's still being told to this day. Oh, He didn't rise from the dead. We fell asleep. And then His disciples came and stole His body. Oh, please. They fell asleep, they'd be executed for that, first of all. Secondly, if they fell asleep, how in the world do they know that the disciples came while they were slumbering and stole the body? You see what Matthew's trying to say? There is this great commission, there's this resurrection mission, and now even amongst those who are called to shepherd God's people and be leaders of the faith, they're the very ones that are going to be proclaiming the lie rather than participating in the great commission and the truth. Things haven't changed so much in 2,000 years, my friends. Bishop John Brodowski of the North American Lutheran Church wrote, I suppose you'd call it an Easter letter, an Easter sermon, in the April newsletter. I finally got a chance to read it last night. And two things caught my ear and my eye in there. One is, he said, there was a woman who wrote to a blogspot, a blogger, and she said, I went to church on Easter Sunday, and my pastor said that Jesus didn't die on the cross. My pastor said that he just fainted and that his disciples nursed him back to health. Signed, Bewildered. And so the person that operates the blog, he said, Dear Bewildered, take your pastor and get one of those first century whips that are made of leather that have pieces of bone fragments and pieces of metal on there and whip him 39 times within the back so that it will take off the size of golf balls, chunks of skin and human flesh and meat. And then after you've done that, take him and put him on a cross in a hot sun for 6 hours and nail spikes through his feet and his hands and then shove a spear in his side. And then put him for 36 hours into an encased tomb. And then see if he thinks that Jesus just fainted and his disciples will nurse him back to health again. Two thousand years ago, a conspiracy of lies. There was a pastor out where I was at in the Tacoma area, a Lutheran pastor that told his members on an Easter Sunday that the resurrection of Jesus is not necessary. That the bodily resurrection of Jesus is not necessary to our faith. The second thing that caught my ear and my eye in Bishop Brodowski's letter in his sermon was this. He said that recently he got a chance to visit with pastors from Rwanda. My wife and I and a couple of our granddaughters, we sponsor a little girl. Well, she's not so little anymore. She's in her 20s now, but she's about a 9th or a 10th grader studying, named Sandrine in Rwanda, giving her hope for a future. And these pastors came over to the United States for 6 months. During the 6 months, they observed Christianity in America, and as they visited with Bishop Brodowski, they said, we're troubled. You have two big problems here in America. He said, first of all, your first problem is this. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way and truth and life. We do. And secondly, the message of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, you don't believe that it's good news and needs to be shared with the whole world. We do. And so Bishop Brodowski said, I was grieved and I was saddened. It was an indictment. And it was so true. When you think about what happened on that first Easter morning with that huge earthquake and how God shook everything up, resurrection is for mission, for a great commission. And it's when we are participating in the mission of Christ that we participate in the resurrection of Christ, the dying and the rising of Jesus. And it's then that we see our risen Lord and we fall at his feet, the humanity of Christ, and we worship him, the divinity of Christ. Martin Luther said that Psalm 118 was his favorite. It's the psalm for Palm Sunday and for Easter Sunday and for all of Holy Week. Did you hear it tonight as Carol was leading us in it and as we spoke the responses? This is the day that the Lord has made. The word is acted. This is the day that the Lord has acted. And we rejoice and we're glad in it. Luther's most favorite verse, Psalm 118, verse 7. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount, proclaim, declare the wonderful deeds of the Lord. Lord, all capital letters, 28 times in 29 verses in Psalm 118. Lord, ego eimi, I am. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. He has acted for you. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Yes. And don't you dare make a peep. Shout alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen.